here, but I gotta let you know that God will, that God can. Now tell him, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Say yeah, say yeah. I know he's all right. I say, is he all right? I say, is he all right? I'm about to close now. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not know two things. But one thing I know. I know he's all right. Is he all right? I say, is he all right? Have you tried it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Oh, yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessing. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
For just a moment, our scripture on the program comes from Matthew 28 and 6. And it says, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about the resurrection reality. The resurrection reality. My brothers and sisters, this momentous occasion we celebrate, this pivotal moment in history, is mostly celebrated from an historic value, something that happened 2,000 years ago. Most people celebrate Easter Resurrection Sunday as if it is simply telling a story of old with no effects today. They tell the story as if it is to remind us afresh of the promises of God made to the people of God in giving his only begotten son and his son giving his life and then dying for us and 3 days later rising from the dead, and we celebrate it as if it was just another part of history. But the reality of the resurrection has so much for the believer today that the enemy would love to lock us in the mindset of Easter being all about bunnies and candy, fine clothes, and all of the trappings of the commercial side of Easter and none of the spiritual side of Easter. When we begin to look at the reality of the resurrection, my brothers and sisters, the Spirit of the living God wants us to take it to a whole nother level. It's about time we start celebrating Easter Resurrection Sunday morning with a new view, with a new spirit, with a new mind, with a new attitude. It's time now that we begin to know the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He didn't just die and rise. He had a purpose for that. And it wasn't just to save our souls. It was not just to save our souls. I like the way Mark illustrates this and gives us insight. There are three compelling confirmations of the resurrection reality found in the Gospel of Mark. Go with me, if you will, to the 16th chapter of Mark. And here you look at verse 6, and verse 6 is Mark's rendering of Matthew 28 and 6. And the word says, "And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Mark seems to give a different vantage point. Mark seems to say that there is a tomb tour that spectators would view, and there's an angel there who is the tour guide. And when they came looking for a living Jesus in a dead place, he wanted them to understand, you are at the right place, but you're at the wrong time. You should have come before 3 days had elapsed, because now he's gotten up and he is risen and he is not here. Now, I want you to see this now, because there are some things in this verse that I think will help us to understand why we really ought to be excited about Easter resurrection the way the Lord wants us to. First of all, there's the confirmation of the witnesses to the resurrection. The confirmation of the witnesses to the revelation. Verse 9 tells us that Jesus appeared to Mary. She's the first witness. Verse 12 talks about two men on their way to the country, which was on the Emmaus road. Jesus hid himself and spoke with them by the wayside. And you do realize when he sat down, as he was compelled to have dinner with him, when he broke the bread and talked as he had usually done about the Lord's Supper, their eyes were open and he disappeared out of their sight. That was in verse 12. But in verse 14, the 11 disciples, Jesus shows up and he literally is disguised disgusted with them in their unbelief, even at the testimonies of others saying that he had gotten up, and they would not believe it until they saw him. And so from the 9th, 12th, and 14th verses, there are 14 people who have witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Listen, not only was there the confirmation of the witness of the resurrection, but there's a confirmation of the works after the resurrection. Now look at what he says in the 16th verse. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, this was not a conclusive list. This was a short list to get them started. Listen at this now. But this came after the resurrection. Now, here's what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, before the resurrection. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now listen at this. Jesus said before the resurrection, look, what I'm doing in this earth realm, and this, of course, was going to be by the power of the Holy Ghost, he says, you're going to be able to do the same thing. He said, but I don't want you to get it twisted. He said, when I leave here, he said, you'll be able to do greater things than I've already done here. Greater things, not because of the advent of technology, radio and satellite and all the rest of that. You can meet more people at the same time and all that. No, because what he's saying us, when he went back to the Father, he's already prayed that the Father would send the Spirit down and that each one of us would have a measureless amount, in other words, unlimited source of spiritual power to do everything that Jesus did. Jesus was omnipotent. He had all power. He was omniscient. He was all-knowing. But in the earth realm, he was not omnipresent. He could only be one place at one time. But when he would go back up to heaven, send the Holy Ghost down, the Holy Ghost would abide in every believer, and it's like everywhere you find a believer trusting in Jesus Christ, he'd be a little Jesus everywhere doing what Jesus did. And so when you begin to realize and understand how powerful that is, and now after the resurrection, he says again, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now listen at this. You've got a lot of folk in the world of Christendom who says that that's not for today. That that was for the apostles after him, and that's no longer relevant. I got one issue. Show me that in the Bible. Show me where that's past and gone and no longer relevant. Because he said in John that the Holy Spirit will come and live with us forever. Not stay here and abide with us and fill us for a limited time only, but with us forever. And all of these works would be done until Jesus returns. Well, because folk don't have a spiritual mind, they tell you, you know, that the tongue speaking was on the day of Pentecost. And it was simply to relate to the people with the various languages and tongues who came to Jerusalem to have fellowship. It didn't mean a spiritual tongue. Paul refutes all of that. Paul said, listen, I speak with tongues more than you all. Talking about the spiritual tongue, different from the day of Pentecost. He says, but in an assembly like the church, he said, that's got to be some order and some structure. He said, if someone is in the church speaking in tongues, then there ought to be an interpreter who can interpret it so that it can be edifying to the whole church, because tongues are a personal gift. And when you really talk about the tongue speaking, that's to benefit the individual. He's saying, but when you're in church, I'd rather speak 5 words in a known tongue than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. Stay with me now. It's important to understand the relevance of the resurrection, of the reality that Jesus Christ wants us today to have everything that he died for us. The resurrection means a new covenant with new promises and new benefits. The resurrection means we're no longer under the law, but under grace. The resurrection means that we now have not justice, but mercy extended to us. The resurrection means that the look from Isaiah versus Peter is different. Isaiah was looking toward the cross, and he said, by his stripes ye are healed. Peter was looking from the cross, and he says, by his stripes ye were, past tense, healed. Here's what he was literally saying. You've already been given permission for your healing, whether you received it or not. Isaiah was looking and prophesying about when Jesus would come. And when he would come, those who were sick would be healed by his stripes. Peter knew after the resurrection, everyone who believed in him had that as a benefit. The resurrection reality gives us to know that we are empowered with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. After this, Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So what does that say to us? That the people of God need to wake up and realize we're living beneath our privilege. I said we're living beneath our privilege as a believer. Listen, we don't have to beg and whine and cry anymore. Do you know why we don't get a lot of stuff we should be getting right now? Let me just let you in on this so you'll know. It's because God has already given you permission and power to do it yourself. You around here crying and asking him to do this and to do that when he's already given you the power to do it. So remember, he's not going to do the possible. He specializes in the impossible. If you want him to do something, it better be impossible. You have what he says you have. You can do what he says you can do. You will become as you continue what he says you will become. But the truth of the matter is, we live beneath our privilege. We're so used to a handout, we don't know how to go in and to come out and to get what we need and to declare it and to decree it according to the word of God. You always whining and crying about folk messing with you, this, that, the other. He's already told you, no weapon. That is formed against you shall prosper. You need to stand on the word. You need to let the enemy know that you know who you are, you know your rights, and therefore you have the power and the authority to dismantle the kingdom of darkness, and let the devil know he's got to let you, your stuff, and everything connected to you alone. You've got to get tired enough where you're tired of the devil messing with you. And learn, you know what? I read in the word that what you stole from me, I got a right to go back and get my stuff and some extra. But no, we don't know our privilege. So we, Lord, if it be your will, please let my stuff come back to me. Oh, Jesus. And they're like, Lord, this poor saint. He's got the power and don't even know it. But look at what the words say. These signs shall follow them. Not these signs shall lead them. But these signs shall follow them. When you look at the word believe, believe, stay with me here. This word comes from the Greek word pistio, and it is the verb pistio, the action word, the present tense of the noun pistis, which is faith. Faith. Believe means you have faith. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith. See, after the resurrection, it's now faith. Everything that's going to be done is going to be done in the now. See, we're believing God now, not later. We're expecting God now. Not later. If he does it later, that's fine. But our expectation is, Lord, do it now. I'm calling you now. I want you to answer now. How many of us pick up the phone and call? Listen, I didn't really expect you to answer. Just call me whenever you get a chance. Most folk don't even worry about calling folk like that back. Because if you had something worth saying, you'd say, listen, I need you to call me right back. I thought you were going to pick up the phone. We call God and don't even expect him to answer. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. So those things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. Now listen to that, because I'm going to break this down and help you understand it. This word substance comes from the Greek word hypostasis. Now what's important about understanding is it literally means support, substructure, or main ingredient. Now, I know that sounds a little strange, but let me help you understand it. Every holiday when we used to go and visit my grandmother when she was here with us, we looked forward to a peach cobbler, a apple pie, a sweet potato pie, and she would make it all from scratch. And she knew how to make it. And she put butter and sugar and flour and all of the other ingredients. But whenever she wanted to make apple pie, the main ingredient was apple. The other ingredients were just support ingredients. When she wanted to make peach cobbler, the main ingredients she used were peaches, and so on and so forth. Well, what I'm trying to tell you is that even the main ingredient needs some support. Faith is the main ingredient. Listen at this. Of things hoped for. Faith is the main ingredient of things hoped for. Well, let me give you another one, because it says substructure is one of the definitions of substance. This building, the reason why this roof doesn't come caving in on us is because the substructure, the foundation, and everything behind the walls and underneath what we see is strong enough to support the weight of the roof. Even if it rains or even if it snows, all of the weight that would come down on a roof naturally was figured in the sub support, making it strong enough to be able to handle everything on top of the support system. And so what I'm trying to help somebody to understand is faith is the substructure of things hoped for. In other words, folk might not see your faith, but the reason your life hasn't come crumbling down all around you when the storms of life hit you was because faith was your substructure that kept you from falling apart, from losing your mind, from going off the deep end. Faith was your substructure. Tell somebody, I'm glad faith is my substructure. Faith is the substructure of things hoped for. Listen at this. The evidence of things not seen. What evidence? I'm glad you asked. The evidence is always the undisputable word of God. That's why, my brothers and sisters, you've got to learn how to lean on the word of God. When Jesus had been baptized, went into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days, 40 nights, when he had finished being tempted, the devil came to him at his weakest human point. But listen at this. Everything he challenged Jesus with, Jesus used the word.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org. Or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577.